Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Aki's here. Jacob's here. How are you two doing?
Good.
I'm all right now.
Now you're all right?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, the food poisoning has largely subsided, so, you know.
The food poisoning we didn't talk about yet?
Right. You're right.
You're a schmuck. We have a special guest joining us this week. Ryan Niemiller's back on the show. Yay!
Yay! I'm happy to be here. I had a very long week of giving people food poisoning.
Oh, how did that go for you?
I went well. I at least got one.
Wait, how did you give people food poisoning?
I made a nice chicken dinner.
Suspicious.
And there was but one chicken that I prepared.
From your butt?
Yes. It was my butt chicken.
That explains, I hate all of you equally. Eye.
That explains the pink eye I also got.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I didn't realize that you eat all your food out of a trough.
Well, you know, how else? I mean, it's economic.
He just has a bucket around his neck.
Every dinner you have, it's like you're doing a pie-eating contest at the fair.
Hey, my wife likes it, so.
Gross. I like it.
Holy shit. So, that's Ryan, how have you been? How are things going in the world of Ryan?
Things are going good. Things are going good. We, talked a little bit. This is going to be very vague. I got some big opportunities coming up soon that might result into some very cool things. So stay tuned to that vagueness.
Yay. I don't know how excited I should get over that.
You should get moderately excited,
yay!
But only as my friend, like a fan.
On a scale of flaccid to rock hard, where should we be?
Right now you should be half chub just because I'm here.
Yeah.
Well, okay. But about this news.
That bumps it up to like a 60% chub.
Yes.
Cool.
Okay. So like, yeah. All right. I don't know where I was going to go with that one.
We know, Jacob. We know. Any news on that special that you shot?
We're still editing it right now. It's still in the editing stage. This is the first special I've ever done. So I don't know what these timelines are. I guess this is pretty normal. So it's gonna be one of those things that we all forget about it, and then randomly in, you know, like 6 months I'll be like, oh, by the way, I have a special, and it will just be ready.
It's on Peacock.
Yeah, from what I'm told, it's looking good, but I have not seen any of the cuts of it yet.
I'd imagine it's at least halfway decent because you're involved, but that's just wishful thinking maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you're giving me a little too much credit.
Yeah.
Wait, so like, I don't know if Joe was just joking, right? Is it going to be on Peacock or? Like...
We don't know. We're going to be shopping it around once it's done. So my is it going to be on Peacock? I would say probably doubtful, because I don't even know if they're buying stand up specials at all.
I only tuned in for the Olympics on Peacock. That's legit it.
Fair. I only use Peacock for WWE Network.
Yep, that's about the same for me, and the wife and I are watching Parks and Rec.
I mean to watch the new Saved by the Bell, but I haven't gotten around to it.
I watched one episode, thought it was pretty good, and I'm like, I'm going to watch more of this, and I never did. That's how I am with every show I watch anymore. I watch the first episode, I'm like, this is pretty solid, I'm going to watch more of this, and then I never do.
Still, speaking of stand-up specials on streaming services, I like how Jeff Foxworthy's getting to do. Everyone's just tearing into him right now.
Really?
Well, like they're tearing into. And I want to be clear at the beginning. Like, Jeff Foxworthy's a legend in comedy. Like he's earned respect of doing it for a long time. But Man, if there's not been proof of that you should have a, you shouldn't wait 20 years between specials, this is it. It's and it's not even, it's not like offensive. It's just so, like, everything's like outdated. Like the big meme that's getting passed around is the participation trophies. When I remember being a kid that you had to actually get first place to get a trophy. Like that's just like the whole special is that he's just a, like, he's a legend. He's just an out of touch boomer. Like, it's, and it's not his fault. He's just an old, he's an old white dude. That's what
I mean.
Old,
we're getting there. We're getting there.
It's a stand up special that's going to make your parents laugh.
Yeah, pretty much. Like if my dad was still alive, he would love that shit. He would lose his mind. He wouldn't know how to work Netflix, but he would like the special if someone put it on for him.
If someone put it on for him. That's the touch I enjoy. Yes. So we should probably talk news. There was some news this week. Not much, but I figure it's conversation. Summer Games Done Quick is returning to an in-person event in June 26th through July 3rd, with mandatory masks and vaccinations. Are you guys excited to see SGDQ back in full effect?
I don't ever watch it.
Really?
So, yeah, I don't ever pay attention.
Yeah, by its name, I don't even know what the fuck it is, so...
Yeah, I enjoy it a lot, and it's one of those things. This is how I have been with most everything during this pandemic era of stuff. I want everyone to be safe first and foremost. These things are harder to watch when there's not that in-person vibe.
Yeah,
you know, watching wrestling during that, you know, pandemic year was really rough. Watching sporting events with no crowds, really rough. Watching these GDQs, like that's part of the thing. Like I love speedrunning to begin with. But part of what makes these events particularly cool is when there's like this packed crowd cheering on the donations and like doing, like, that's part of the vibe. And it's just been missing the last couple of years.
Yeah. And I love when they have races too, when like everyone is really invested in the race. People are cheering, people are booing, donations are coming in, incentives are flying around. It's just, it's not the same when it's just all internet.
I would 100% agree with that.
Jacob and Aki don't care at all. More news they won't care about. Yeah. Sony has acquired Haven Studios, the new studio from Jade Raymond that was already funded by Sony to build an exclusive for Sony.
Big shocker.
And if I remember correctly, they're working on some other, like, some multiplayer game that's most likely going to be like a games as service game. That's what I heard.
Out that shit doesn't work and just fucking quit. They've had what, one or two successful ones out of over fucking 50. They need to fuck off with that. I'm so fucking tired of that shit.
Just chasing the dragon.
Yeah, I don't know how this acquisition is gonna go. It's a new studio. Jade has a great history, but most recent history has been what, with Stadia, and that went nowhere. I mean, that obviously wasn't her fault.
Yeah.
But I don't know where
they're getting paid. So,
yeah,
I mean, a company that's making games for Sony now making games for Sony. I don't think it's going to be any different than what it already is. Yeah. So
I worry that they're too new to like slap a ring on already. Like they haven't proven themselves. And Sony's usually really selective with who they work with and who they acquire. So I don't know. Maybe this is a really good sign that they jumped in and acquired them this quick.
Maybe what they've seen, you know, like what's coming up, you know, maybe it impressed them enough.
Maybe the Ascent released on PlayStation this week. So if you've been playing that on Xbox and you wish you could use a PlayStation controller instead, now you can. Yay!
What's the Ascent
game?
Is it? Oh yeah. Shit!
You should look it up.
Okay.
Go ahead, look it up. I'm going to wait here.
Get to it right now. We'll sit quietly.
I'm not going to sit here quietly either. I'm going to sit here noisily waiting for him to look it up.
All right.
What'd you say, Aki?
That I'm pretty sure it's about caves. It's fun.
It's like a Diablo-like.
Excuse me, I'm firing up my computer right now.
Just search on your phone.
Nah.
He's just trying to drag this shit out as long as he can.
He is.
Fuck's sake. I'm going to go reattach everything to my new Xbox.
your new Xbox. What happened to your other one?
Oh, I still have the old one too. I just connected it, and my TV only has enough room for so much to be attached to it. I was trying to play one of the review games on my old one. Since it wasn't working on my new one, that didn't work. So now I just need to reattach the new one.
Yeah, we'll discuss that later when everyone else is gone. So, did you look up the Ascent yet, Jacob?
Nope, Google Chrome is starting up.
Oh, you motherfucker.
listen, you're the dick who wouldn't just tell me what the hell the game was.
I'm never going to tell you what the game is either.
The Ascent video game. It's a solo and co-op action shooter RPG, a packed cyberpunk world.
Yeah. That's Diablo published S, which is
published by Curve Digital. Oh, okay.
Huh. It's on Game Pass, I'm pretty sure.
I was about to say, I think this is on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
so now you can play it.
I could, but I won't.
You know what else you will have the opportunity to play, but you probably won't play? Godfall Ultimate Edition is releasing on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Steam on April 7th. So if you somehow really wanted to play Godfall and haven't yet.
I haven't heard anything good about that game.
And say, I don't believe it was well received from anything that I saw about that.
Another live game that fucking failed. Big shocker.
Yeah, they're going to keep throwing those against the wall because occasionally one works and everyone thinks they're that one.
And none of them are because that entire system sucks.
What would you consider a successful games of service, games as a service?
One that came out and wasn't a broken piece of shit and actually fulfilled the little shitty dumbass fucking plan that they have in the time frame that they state it's going to be in. And it's good.
Like?
None of them.
I don't personally, you know, love it per se, but Destiny 2 is doing all right. You know, financially it works. People seem to enjoy playing it. Or it's Stockholm Syndrome, one or the other.
It's Stockholm Syndrome.
But regardless, it is one that like it seems to have a consistent player base. They bring out enough substantial content that I think it satiates those fans enough. Again, it's not for me. Those type of games, I feel like the problem, at least for me personally, is if you don't get in on it right away, it's a very large barrier of entry to Like, I've never played Destiny 2 at all. I played a lot of the first one. I can't imagine starting Destiny 2 now.
Yeah, I hopped in because of my buddy John. And it's just... And this was, like, 2 years ago. And there was already, like, I had no clue what the hell was going on. And I can't even imagine... Yeah, it's just... I can't imagine what the hell it's like at this point.
I hate like, that they vault content in Destiny 2. Like, you made the content... Why would you lock it away so people can't play it anymore?
Who thought that was a good idea? That sounds fucking stupid.
Yeah, they lock away content that is old. That
would piss me off.
I don't know.
Now do we think it's a thing where it's going to be like how Disney used to do it? Where like for the first time in 30 years out of the Disney vault, like where they can kind of re-release the content later.
There's a reason why Disney doesn't do that anymore. It's illegal.
What? Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay. I get what you were implying. I was just like, well, I mean, also at this point, I mean, streaming services have kind of killed that, so.
Well, they stopped doing that years and years and years ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, with DVD, plus it's but.
Remember what? Why it's illegal, but it was determined to be illegal, and they stopped doing it. The more you know.
Yeah.
Even if it's only. Past knowledge.
I'm gonna look that up now.
Something else that's gonna stop is Nintendo's game Dragalia Lost. The final story will be part 2 of chapter 26, releasing in July. More information on the end of service will be announced at a future date, but if you play this one on mobile, get your games in while you can because it's going away soon.
Oh no, a gambling gotcha game is going away. Oh. Sadness, you can just hear it in my voice. Oh no.
You're always a beacon of sunshine, Aki.
I don't like gambling games. They're asinine, and they shouldn't fucking exist. If you want to gamble, go to a fucking casino. Then you might win some fucking money. Got just as good chances. Hell, you probably have better chances at a casino.
So CD Projekt revealed that a new installment of The Witcher is in development. No time frame or release date are available, or any details or anything outside of it using the Unreal Engine 5. But it's happening.
They showed a picture, so we know it's not going to be about Geralt, because it showed a picture of a cat medallion instead of a wolf medallion. Mm-hmm. So it can't be based on him or Ciri, because they're both part of the wolf group, whatever the fuck. It's great and all that they're working on that, but I still think they need to do more work on Cyberpunk 2077 before they think of touching anything the fuck else.
I'm sure they have different dev teams for those games.
I mean, figure that.
I think they should put the entire team on fixing it to make it perfect, finally. To make it what they said it was going to be. And then be like, okay, now everyone go do something else, except for a very small team that fixes whatever tiny problems exist.
Ryan, did you get into Cyberpunk at all?
Not yet. I just recently bought it, maybe within the last month. I found it for like $15 or something like that. I feel nice. That's worth it. Out of principle, I wasn't going to buy it full price. I have a Series X. Everyone said it ran fine. But like, for me, it just made me mad that there's no way they didn't know that it was shit. On the old consoles. And they went ahead and sold it anyway. Like that's a deliberately shady move. Like,
that was a bitch who pre-ordered it. Yeah.
I'll give it a shot at some point. But I mean, just like everything, I have a ton of games.
No, I know a game I'll be playing next year. EA announced the EA Sports PGA Tour will now be releasing spring 2023, and it will be the exclusive home of the four majors, including the Masters, the Players Championship, and the FedEx Playoffs. I'm excited. I love golf games. I think they're a lot of fun to play, and I'm looking forward to a new one. It's been 2015 since Rory McIlroy PGA Tour came out.
I have no idea. Last golf game I played was Lynx 2004 on my old Xbox.
I have a life, so I haven't played a golf game.
I think there's a 2K21.
Bullshit. I call bullshit on that.
I've literally never played a golf game.
No. I call having bullshit a life. On you saying that you have a life.
Yeah.
I don't believe that for a fucking second.
Well, prove it by not playing golf games. There we go.
No, that's you're on this show. You have no life.
Yeah.
No, I just have some free time. That's all.
Mm-hmm. And you're gonna honestly say you have nothing better to do in your free time than to be here.
This place gives me free games that I want. Yeah, I have the time to be here.
Oh, Jesus. Something no one's getting anytime soon is Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, which got bumped to spring 2023. Rocksteady Studios made the decision to delay it from this fall until next spring. So if you were looking forward to Suicide Squad, you're going to have to wait longer.
For some reason, I thought it already had been moved to next year.
Yeah. I thought they maybe it was just like rumored to be delayed, and this was the official announcement.
That's weird. Okay. Yeah, I could have sworn it was coming out next year anyway.
Oh, well, last bit of news I have is that somebody got Doom running on a pregnancy test.
Oh, that's old news, man. I shared that on our Facebook page like a while ago.
Okay, well, I just saw on Reddit today and thought it would be fun to say that someone got Doom running on a fucking pregnancy test.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, hooray for more things that we can run Doom on.
But does it still work as a pregnancy test?
I don't know.
Yeah. No, it does not. They had to, they emptied out all of that stuff.
Oh, that's a shame.
You have to get to the end of the stage to find out if you're pregnant or not.
No, get to the end of the whole thing, and if you're pregnant, it replaces the main bad guy with the fetus instead. God.
That would be awful.
I would love it.
Thimber saying, did you talk about the Sonic Xbox with the furry?
Jacob, did you see this? I did, but we're saving that for the Sonic 2 movie watch.
Thimber, they're trying to get it because they want me to play games with it.
No, if I win that, I'm keeping that motherfucker.
Oh God, I don't.
I will rub those controllers all over my body.
Can you imagine like playing with those things in the summertime?
Ryan, did you see that thing?
So terrible.
Oh, I want it so bad. It's the most hideous thing I've ever seen in my life, and I need it desperately.
They have to know that, like, I mean, that had to have been done on purpose. Like, you know, we know this is the worst idea ever.
Yeah, the thing that, like, made me mad about, like, you know, like, the Twitter comments and stuff like that, like, this is clearly not, like, it is a special promotional weird ass Xbox, and everyone's like, oh, the controller would get gross, and but no one's gonna fucking actually play.
I would
games on that. Well, you would, because you're a monster.
Joe just said he'd rub his naked body all over it.
Oh, yeah. I want to ask him if I can exchange, like, I want the controllers, but instead of the system, can they just give me a large rug made out of that same fabric?
So Ryan can roll around naked on it.
Yeah, yeah. I want to do the old, that classic Burt Reynolds photo.
Oh, Jesus.
Just on the rug.
I like the person who took the image of the Series S that had Sonic and Knuckles on it, and they replaced it with Elmo and Cookie Monster.
That's basically what it is. I love it.
Oh, God.
All right. So, Aki, do you have any news?
Well, there was the hacker group who's been hacking into companies and leaking their information, and a whole bunch of them were apparently arrested in the UK. A bunch of teenagers were arrested in relation to it.
Good, today. Fuck 'em.
So, yeah, they were planning on hitting Microsoft next, so of course they were immediately caught.
Shocking.
Microsoft was not going to fuck around with that. So, yeah, that's cool. Hopefully something comes of that. I don't know if it will, but hopefully something does. That's it. That's all I got.
That's all you got?
Yeah.
All right, Jacob, what more do you got?
Well, Halo started streaming on Paramount Plus today. So
is it any good?
Don't know. I haven't seen it yet. What? You asked for news, not reviews. Anyway, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 movie watch. Aki's favorite thing. So I don't know if you've noticed, however, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is going full blown into its merchandising spree. There is now a cereal out now with little marshmallow bits. Tasty Cake is doing stuff with it. Crap, there's the Xbox contest, so you know, enter that so you can get your little furry controllers there. And critics have seen Sonic the Hedgehog 2. It's currently embargoed, but from what everybody's saying, it's better than the first, and everyone seems to be pretty pleased with it. So
I enjoyed the first one a lot, actually. I would never try to claim it's a good movie in the sense of like a cinematic masterpiece.
But it's better than Godfather 2.
Yeah, it's a dumb fun. It's about Sonic the fucking Hedgehog. Like it was fun. That's all.
It was okay. It was a completely mind numbing, stupid movie, but it was okay.
Yeah, sometimes that's all you need. Not everything needs to be.
Aki just doesn't want to admit that she enjoys it.
It was okay.
How many more times have you watched it since?
Well, I've only watched it the one time. I don't tend to watch things
100 times.
No. I'd rather give a shotgun a blowjob than watch that again.
Listen, what you do in the comfort of your own home is your own business. While you're watching Sonic, that's however you want to fillet handguns.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I just really
any other
to
news,
fillet.
Jacob?
Nah.
Nothing. Ryan, what about you? Any news on your end?
Not really. You guys have covered most of the stuff I saw this week.
And any, do you want to talk about Elden Ring at all? That's been our Tuesday night party cast mainstay for the past fucking month. Have you played it yet?
I have not. And I don't have any current plans to do so. I will eventually. I don't like Souls games to begin with. Mm. If it's one of those things, I don't hate them. If people like them, go nuts. I don't enjoy that feeling of banging my head against the wall. I don't get that cathartic, like, oh, I overcame it. I'm just like, good, finally. That was a waste of my life.
Apparently, it's a lot easier than the standard Dark Souls games because it's more about exploration or some shit. I haven't bothered to play it because I'm with you. I don't particularly like Dark Souls.
Yeah, well, and you should for me, take like,
Brooke's advice. Brooke said she was never into the Souls games, but she gave Elden Ring a shot, and she's just in love with the game. So maybe you should give it a shot.
I mean, like,
maybe when it comes down in price, I will.
Yeah, so
that's when I plan on picking it up.
I don't want to spend $60 on, you know, an experiment that I might like it. Kind I'll of spend thing. 20
on an experiment to see if I like it.
100%. I would do the same. I guess for me, and this could be my own ignorance. Again, I have not played it, but just looking at the game, I haven't seen what makes it different than the others. Like what makes it like a different experience instead of just more of the same. And if people like the same, that's great. It's for those people. People
keep saying it's more about exploration stuff, but they never show fucking anything. But oh, here's a really hard, stupid fucking boss fight. That's all they keep showing. So I'm like, is it really about exploration, or is it just more fucking Dark Souls?
The Dark Souls games are fairly more linear, where Elden Ring is about a more open world experience and exploration. And I actually started it up earlier today, and I played a solid 10 minutes of it before I got distracted by something else. So I made an effort. That's my experience with Elden Ring so far.
That's so noble of you, Joe.
Yeah, that's all we can ask of you.
I know. I made an effort.
Did you get through character creation?
Yes.
Okay.
I killed a couple of monsters. There is no dong slide. Shut the fuck up.
Every game should have a dong slider and boob slider. I'm just saying.
Every game.
Every game.
Yeah. Animal Crossing?
Yes. Every.
Mario Brothers?
Yes. Yeah, you know Tom Nook's packing.
And obviously so is Luigi.
Yes, clearly.
Just saying.
Why do you think he's so tall?
Exactly. And he has huge feet. Anyways.
Woohoo! All right, should we get to reviews?
Yeah, probably.
Ryan, are you ready?
I guess.
You are joining us because you have a game to talk about this week. The first game we are going to talk about tonight is Monster Energy Supercross 5, developed and published by Milestone, released March 17th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $59.99. Hold on fast to the handlebar of your bike because a new chapter of the series has finally arrived. Try Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game 5, and discover the quintessence? What the why would they include that word in a Supercross game? What the hell? That's
quintessential?
Discover the quintessence of indoor Supercross.
Well, there is a lot of wizards late in the game. It turns into an RPG.
Crazy. Tell us about the wild RPG elements of Monster Energy Supercross 5.
I mean, there is a slight sense of leveling up, I guess, by the technical definition some people use of RPGs. There are some RPG elements, but no, it is not there's only wizards because I put wizards in everything.
So how is Monster Energy? Is this your first time with the franchise?
This is my first time with the franchise. These are the type of games that I usually really love. I say this lovingly, but they're a little mindless. It's the reason I love like Forza Motorsport, for instance. Those are the type of games that I call my get other things done at the same time games. You know, so it's like if I need to catch up on watching a podcast, some YouTube channels I follow, you know, whatever kind of thing like that. Wrestling I haven't seen this week. I can fire that on my laptop, play some video games where you don't necessarily need to be invested in a story per se. This game is great for that. I'm still having trouble. I've probably put 15 hours in at this point. I'm not good at this game still. the bike, because I'm so used to playing car games that like the bike is very. I'm not getting it. I don't know if it means the controls are bad or I'm bad. I think it's probably more that.
I'm bad. I was never good at these games either, and I think I gave like the first two entries into the series a try. So yeah, it definitely takes on a more realistic view. And yeah, it You'd really have to know what the fuck you're doing, I think, with these games.
Yeah, and part of the thing, too, that I think would help, I don't follow Supercross or, like, motocross or anything, like, in real life at all. So I feel like some of the things that I'm doing wrong as far as, like, how to hit turns and how to, you know, go through the little rabbit bumps or whatever they're called, I would know if I followed the sport. But for me, I'm just holding on to R, the right trigger, and just hoping for the best in most cases.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's...
It turns out you can't drift in these games.
Not very well. No, there's not a lot of drifting. I'm starting to learn how to use my brakes, finally. I feel that's responsive on that. The biggest issue I have, and again, I don't know if this is a me thing or a gameplay thing, I feel it's incredibly easy just to fly the fuck everywhere. I'll feel like I'm perfectly centered. And this even happens because there's a pretty cool free roam mode where there's like some collectibles. It's kind of just like a little distraction where you kind of practice a little bit. And even on that, I'll be like, okay, I'm going to go as fast as I can at this ramp straight on and see if I can do a cool flip or something. And then I'll hit the ramp and then I end up in the ocean. and I'm like, I don't know how I got there. For the most part, I do feel this is something, if you put the time in, you can get good at it. I have just not put enough time into it yet to get good at it. I feel like the races are fine. The AI can be a bit of a pain in the ass sometimes, because I'm playing on very easy because that's who I am as a human.
I'm there too, man.
Very easy as a human. And I feel, I don't know if it's because I'm on very easy or if the AI is just dumb. I feel like they'll just deliberately get in your way a lot of times. A lot of my crashes are because suddenly a vehicle will just stop in front of me for no reason, or like I'll land on top of them, like that type of thing.
It is fun landing on other racers.
It is. Yeah. That's the only gameplay issue that I really have with the actual. I feel the racing actually feels pretty decent. The only thing that occasionally happen, I was doing a couple tracks just to kind of like mine XP a little bit, just to kind of get some of the unlockable elements, because there's a lot of customization for your character. And you could jump on the there was a couple times like I was riding on top of the helmets of like three drivers for about a half a lap. Like you can balance on top of them and they'll kind of carry you around. People who are good at the game could probably figure out how to just have someone drag you around the entirety of the place. I did a little bit of the multiplayer. It's pretty standard, nothing crazy there. There's a track creator, which is a neat idea, but it's a little bare bones, I think. But there are like, if you get sick of doing the normal races, there's some community ones you can pull up where people can do some cool stuff with. The career mode, I think it's fun, but it's just grindy. I think a lot of these games tend to have that grind to it. Kind of once you start getting into the career races, it is what it is. You kind of know what to expect at that point. You can do sponsorships, which are nice. You can kind of get some extra money to buy stuff that way. There's one thing I did like, if you're bad at the game like I am and crashing a lot, you actually get injured. So in between the race, it'd be like, oh, you have a dislocated shoulder and a broken leg.
Oh, and fun.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. And it kind of affects your stats. So like different injuries affect different things. So like one injury might make it where it's harder for you to make corners. One might affect your stability when you land, that type of thing. But you can do in between each race, you can go, you can do some training, basically a workout. And you basically do this kind of 3-minute mini game where there's three goals you do on kind of the free roam. And depending on how good you do at those goals, it will heal some of the injuries, which is, I think, a cool little touch if you get good at that. I'm not good at those yet. I'm trying. But you can also pay credits to heal as well. So you're not kind of destined to be paralyzed if you're bad at that game.
So the game is sitting at $60. They also have a special edition for $80 that includes a credits multiplier and season pass. What are your thoughts on this game?
I feel like a credit multiplier really isn't necessary. Like if you really like motocross, get the special edition. But like I felt I was getting money relatively fast just doing normal races and training and stuff. I didn't feel that was an issue. $60 to me feels a bit much. There's a lot of times where I judge games like this where it's like, is it a $60 game? No. Is it a decent $30 game? Yeah, Absolutely. I would recommend it for that. If you like Supercross, I think you'll enjoy this because there's not a lot of this type of game, I don't think, that's not like arcadey. I enjoyed it though. I'm gonna keep grinding away at this even after this review's done.
Gonna get your completion on the game.
I'm gonna try. That's part of that's the OCD in me, and part of it's just like I think it's fun. I think it's relatively mindless. I'm getting a little bit better at it, and I have a lot of podcasts to catch up on. So this would be the perfect the perfect fodder for that.
Nice. All right, well, Ryan, that is it for you. Thank you so much for joining us. We will let you get going.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, friends.
We will have to get you back on again soon. We will look for something else to make your review for us. Perfect. Love having you on doing it.
Appreciate it. Thank you, everyone.
Cool. You have yourself a good... Where can people keep up to date with you and what you're doing? Give us all the info quick.
Cripplethreat.com, Cripplethreat8 on all the stuff. I have a podcast of my own called The Cafeteria. Please subscribe to that. As far as being on tour, next thing I have coming up is April 7th through the 9th. I am in Cape Girardeau, Missouri at Laughing Gas Comedy Club. Tickets are available now. Buy them. If you come to the show and you tell me you came because you heard me on this podcast, I'll give you some free shit.
Wow, that is an offer nice. That absolutely nobody will take you up on.
I know that's what I'm saying. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm throwing something on just a Hail Mary out into the universe.
I'm gonna use that. Like if you ever come back to Pennsylvania and I'm able to go, so you know.
Yeah. I heard about you on the SML podcast. You're on the SML podcast. Yeah, so, but can I get a shirt?
yeah. Look at the fine print. He didn't say I had to be a fan.
Oh, man. Ryan, we love having you on. Have yourself a wonderful night, and we will talk to you next time.
You do the same. Later on, guys.
Peace.
Later.
See ya.
All right. Next up is Trivial Pursuit Live 2, developed by Divers, published by Ubisoft, released March 18th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $19.99. Take your place on stage to showcase your knowledge and face off against friends and family to collect as many wedges as you can to take home the win. With hundreds of new questions, adapted level of difficulties, and a diverse lineup of characters, everyone can join the party and enjoy the thrill of a fast-paced TV show experience. Jacob, what's going on in Trivial Pursuit Live 2?
All right. So have either of you ever played Trivial Pursuit?
No.
The board game, yeah.
All right. On the board game. Like, Aki, have you never played it?
Nope. Never even heard of it.
Okay. All right. So, Joe, like, all right. So let me just get this straight. When you get, like, your little wedges, you're only supposed to get one of each color, right?
Normally, yeah.
Okay.
And the goal is to fill up your pie.
Correct.
With all the colors.
Okay. With one of each of the colors and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So in this game, they've really switched it up a bit. And when that description goes for like a TV show vibe, yeah, it just a lot of Trivial Pursuit stuff gets thrown out the window. And now apparently you can just get as many like yellow edges as you want or whatever. It's just, it seems to be luck of the draw. So pretty much you just go through the game and you're answering different questions and you can choose from like three rounds or five rounds. And that determines each round plays a little bit differently. Like there'll be one where it's just like, all right, well, you have to get the correct answer. And then later rounds will start doing this. Like in my opinion, I think they're bullshit. Things which like all they do is just try to run up the score and like and I realize it might be they might do it to like make things more fair or like, you know, keep everybody in the game kind of stuff. But it starts being like, all right, well, like we're gonna put like these five events on a timeline and you have to get like the closest one to like whichever one's the oldest. And so it becomes a thing of like not so much what you know, but how fast you can answer on something. And it's just like it becomes, in my opinion, it becomes really frustrating because this doesn't feel like Trivial Pursuit. It's Jeopardy. Like it's not like, I mean, that's all it is.
No.
Like, and I mean, I still kick the AI's ass every single time I was playing it. But it was just, there were times where all of a sudden, because of these rounds, the AI would start getting really close to like matching my score. And it wasn't because I was answering questions wrong. It was because of these rounds that are made to inflate people's scores. And I just really wasn't a fan of it. Like, as I said, it suddenly halfway through the game, it no longer becomes like a competition of how much you know. And I wasn't pleased with it. Like, unfortunately, I didn't get to try out online multiplayer because when I tried it, nobody was online playing it. Has the game actually released yet?
Yeah, it released on the 18th.
Okay, well.
My birthday! It released on my birthday!
But, I mean, to be honest, like, and this, what I'm about to say isn't to knock the game, but I was actually a little surprised that they made a sequel to this. Because I actually couldn't find anyone, like, I owned the previous Trivial Pursuit game, and I could never find anyone to play with online. Like, it was just dead. And so the fact that they made a sequel kind of surprised me, because the whole point of it is that you're supposed to be playing online with other people. And when I tried to play online, it was just dead as well. So, as I said, unfortunately, I didn't get to try out that aspect of the game. The character customization, there's plenty of it. Some of it, you could get extra stuff if you do the Ubisoft Connect thing, where
use the points and the credits that you earn in the game.
And there are regular stuff that they're doing. If people win X amount of games, like, you know, it'll unlock this for everyone, like weekly competitions. But of course, the thing is that I was like, oh, cool. Like, cause it's like, you all need to win like 35,000 games, and they're currently at like 22,000 or something like that. But I'm just like, that's cool that it's there, but where is everyone?
No.
Like, are they all just playing at home and like not playing online, or like, what the heck's happening? So going back with character customizations, there's a lot of stuff, and I've got to say, it's really entertaining watching like the AI just throw shit together, because it, like, you got some really crazy ass outfits that people are wearing, which honestly is part of the fun. Like, that was some of the fun I had with it. But that being said, in all honesty, if you are a Trivial Pursuit purist, this is not a game for you. If you're looking for a new way to liven things up and maybe have like, you know, maybe this is like going to be like a family game night thing, you know, I can see going for it for there. The $20 price tag is honestly lower than I was expecting it to be. And so it's more attractive for that, but I'm going to have to leave it at a try it.
Let me put it this way. Should I pay the $20 to buy this to play against you?
Yes, because he's bad at it.
No, he's usually really good at these games.
No, like, honestly, like, Joe's watched me destroy people on Jeopardy, and I'm baked when I'm doing it. Like, I'm really good at these kind of games.
Wait for a sale then? Sounds good.
I would wait for a sale. Like, it's just, as I said, I'm a Trivial Pursuit purist, and I was very disappointed with it. Yeah. But if you're looking for a more relaxed family game night thing where, like, you know, mom, dad, and like two kids who are in there like teens or something like that, I don't fucking know, like, go with that. Like, it's got mechanics that'll keep everyone, it'll keep the scores close, so nobody will get blown out of the water. But I wasn't pleased with it.
All right, well, hopefully the next one you enjoyed a little more. It is called Who Pressed Mute on Uncle Marcus, developed by Good Gate Media and Wales Interactive, published by Wales Interactive. Released March 18th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $12.99. The family quiz is a long-held tradition, but this year, Abby received some shocking news. Someone has poisoned Uncle Marcus. Make decisions throughout the story to uncover the truth and try to save him before it is too late. Jacob, what is going on, and who pressed mute on Uncle Marcus?
So in this game, you're part of this family that has an estranged uncle, and once a year on the mother's birthday, like, everyone gets together over like video conferencing, and they do this like kind of like quiz game where people just quiz each other on random stuff. Like, you have like the one girl who's like, she's in the music business and she's totally stuck up, so all the questions are about herself. You have this like aunt who's like very vindictive, and like, so she drunkenly asks all these questions like that are a little bit too personal and very mean. You have like a grandma who has no idea what the fuck's going on. I mean, with the quiz, I mean, she knows what's going on. But anyways, so the thing is that the week before this quiz thing, or I think it was the week, it was something. Anyway, so before this quiz thing, there was a family meeting because the family has this like huge business estate thing that you weren't able to make the meeting for. And Uncle Marcus was there, and he has some sort of like controlling interest, but Uncle Marcus was poisoned.
Dun, dun,
and you're the only family member that Uncle Marcus like really likes and talks to. And he's just like, yo, I need you to like be part of this quiz thing and like gather evidence and figure out who poisoned me, what did they poison me with? And, you know, you have to make your accusations and all that kind of stuff and figure it out by the end of it. And the nice thing about this is that, inevitably you're going to fuck up. Like, there's just no two ways about it. And so the first time I played through, Uncle Marcus died. But the thing is, the game lets you keep all the evidence that you've gathered, for when you start up a new game. Now it also gives you the option to erase all that data if you like want to start fresh and like try to solve it all in one go. I mean, more power to you, but fuck that noise. So you could do that, and then you could replay it. And so the second time I actually did save Uncle Marcus, because it eventually gets to the point where his health is so low and he's just like, just figure out, like, just guess whichever like poison it was, and I guessed the correct one. So yay me.
GG.
So anyway, and then, yeah, you have to make your accusations, and like pretty much everyone at the whole quiz thing is a suspect. So you have to figure out, who was it? Was it just one person, or was it all of them, or were certain people in cahoots? You have to figure that out. And so with this, this is one of those full motion video games, you know, one of those, which started back in the mid 90s, which they believed was going to bridge Hollywood and video games. And the genre never really took off, but Wales has been doing a bang up job with it, really bringing it back. And one of the neat features with this game is that they have a streaming mode, as if you were playing on like Netflix or Hulu or something like that, which, honestly, I've always wondered about this, like, because I was wondering, like, how the hell do they actually make money on these games? Because I can't figure that the, like, the audience is that big. But then I realized with the streaming mode thing, I'm wondering, like, oh, do they just sell the rights to, like, Netflix or something like that? And it's just, like, Bandersnatch on there? Like, I don't know if you played that on Netflix.
No.
Okay, well, there's an episode of Black Mirror that plays similar to this. And you have to use your remote to make decisions, and like you control the movie, and there's like 9,000 different variations of the movie. So there's a streaming mode, because normally this game, like, your decisions are timed. But with the streaming mode, you have time to actually think about it, which I thought was a really nice added feature. And so I was using that with it.
Cheater.
Now, no, it's not a cheater. It's something that's it's just right there.
You weren't streaming.
So?
Cheater.
Whatever. Anyway, so honestly, I had a pretty good time with it. And you said that this thing was like $12.99?
Yep.
Damn. Okay. That's cheaper than I thought it was. But anyways, yeah, I'm having a fun time with it. It's another thing that I like about it is that like an average playthrough takes like maybe like an hour and a half tops. And so, like, you could easily kill, like, you know, you can easily blow through the game, probably lose, but, you know, get, you know, set yourself up for a new one, with it without feeling like you've really wasted any time. So yeah, honestly, I'm having fun with it.
Well, $13, your verdict?
Yeah, I'd go with a buy it. I mean, if you're a little like, if you're not familiar with like this kind of genre, I'd recommend, as I said, go up on Netflix, check out Bandersnatch and see if something like that's up your alley. And if it is, Whales Interactive has released like a ton of games like this. And so the ones that I've played are all quality. I'd recommend checking them out. And who muted Uncle Morris? Honestly, it's pretty fun. I like it.
Cool. All right, next up is The Pizza Delivery Boy Who Saved the World, developed by Arok Studios, published by Penguin Pop Games, released March 23rd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $5.99. It's The Pizza Delivery Boy Who Saved the World, a brand new visual novel by a former pizza delivery boy who is probably never going to work in the pizza industry again if his boss finds out he made this game. Jacob, tell us about this one.
So this is a pretty fun visual novel that uses photos instead of drawings. And so like everybody that you see in there, I was wondering if they were all stock photos or something, but it turns out that it looks like these are actual people that like the game devs know. It's made by like, I think one or two people. And the plot is fairly heinous. So you are this pizza delivery guy. You're in your 30s.
26.
Oh, you're 26? Oh, that's right. Yeah, because you're... Wait, Aki, did you play this too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, are we both reviewing it?
Yes.
Basically, I'm just correcting when you're wrong.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
So anyways, you're this 26-year-old pizza guy whose life is going nowhere. All of your coworkers are stoners or like just absolute wastes of space.
Who's your boss?
And do you just want to tell the story, Aki?
Nope, I'm just correcting you.
How can you correct me on stuff I haven't mentioned yet?
Because you didn't mention it.
All right, you tell the story then.
Go ahead, Aki.
Okay. Boss is a cunt who needs to get punched in the face a few times. He's such an asshole. Basically, you're used as the whipping boy of the group. You're expected to do everything and complained about constantly for no reason. Like, one of the first things your boss complains about is how there's people at the front who are complaining. And then your character's like, okay, I'll head up there and I'll take care of it. And he's like, are you stupid? You're a driver. You don't do that. Because he needs to be punched in the face. And then you meet yourself from 30 years in the future. And you don't believe yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Apparently bad shit goes down at the pizza place. And you go back in time. And Yeah, I'll let Jacob control after this because that's about as far as I got in it.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, I didn't heard it last night.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Okay. I hate you so much. So fucking much. Anyway. So it turns out that future you, has come back and the two of you have to figure out how you're going to survive. But it turns out that the internet has been completely, like, in the future, the internet gets completely destroyed. And you have to figure out how to prevent that. But then future you also gets kidnapped. That's all I can really reveal without giving away everything else about the story. So it's standard visual novel stuff. You have various conversations and you guide the conversation and hopefully you don't die, which I can confirm actually can happen. And then there's other stuff, like there's puzzle, like there's some small puzzles on like how to cut pizzas correctly.
Affordably for an achievement.
Yeah. And you know, diffusing customer interactions and stuff like that. But yeah, honestly, I thought it was a pretty satisfying visual novel. I mean, the dialogue is absolutely fucking hilarious. The plot is just really out there compared to other visual novels that I've played. I was just a really big fan of it. I was really pleased through and through with it.
It's $6. I mean, what are your thoughts?
I was going to say it's a pretty quick playthrough. I would say two hours max, to get through the story. It just keeps you interested the whole time. For $6, absolutely friggin' worth it. My only issue with it though is that there is an epilogue, and the game crashed during it, or at least I think it. It did crash, because when I tried to hop back in, the game had, like, the Xbox had quit the game and stuff like that. So now I actually have to go back pretty far and try to play the epilogue again. But there is one, so, you know, just like a Marvel movie, stay after the credits.
Aki, your thoughts?
I think it's a fuck it, why not? It's so cheap. It wasn't super, from what I've played, it's not super high on my list of visual novels, but I've played a fuck ton of them. But it's cheap enough that I'm like, whatever, just get it. I think this is their first game, I believe, isn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, a rock? I don't think so. No.
I mean, honestly, I had a lot of fun with it. I will be honest, it is a quarter one finalist for me.
Oh, wow. You really
I really enjoyed the humor with it. So, like, it, yeah. Yeah,
they have a bunch of games available on Itch. They have a number of other FMV titles available. So,
okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jacob, I guess that is it for you.
Bananas.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Actually, I was really curious. Like, how have I sounded this episode?
Good. We'll talk about that more next week. But Aki, you keep cutting out this episode. I don't know what the hell's going on. I think you're trying to talk when other people are, and it's like your mic is like Skype is muting. I don't know. It's weird.
I have no idea, because I'm only like a little over an inch away from my mic, so.
It only seems so like when other people are talking.
You're almost filleting your mic.
Yes, I am almost filleting my mic, and it is the right shape to be filleted. Anyways, nice. said you sound a little froggy, but that's about it.
I think he sounds good.
Cool.
I think it's clearer and it has more bass to it than the old headset.
Okay. Excellent.
I don't remember what he used to sound like on the other headset, so.
Now, one last bit of news that we could talk about real quick. Did either of you get the Humble Ukraine bundle?
No.
No? I don't have $40 to blow on it, unfortunately.
They have raised $18 million for charity.
Wow.
With this bundle.
Nice.
It is ridiculous. I picked up the bundle, and for how many Steam games I have, I figured, oh, I'm going to have so many duplicates. I had 70 new games.
Nice.
70.
I mean, how many of them are you going to play?
But, probably, you know, none.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, I on Ichio, I have like over 2,000 games.
Yeah. From similar. So, and then Fanatical is doing another bundle for Ukraine as well.
Fuck. I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, that one just started tonight. That one, you only need to donate $15 and you get 50 plus games, but apparently there's only a limited number of them available. So if you want to get that one, jump on Fanatical ASAP and donate while you can, while that bundle's still around. So,
okay.
All right. So I guess that's it for you, Jacob. You could get on out of here.
Woo! Farfik Nugent.
Fuck off.
Are you going to do that every time? Yeah, he is going to do that every time. I love it.
He is.
I love it. Right, Norg?
Listen here, fuck snort.
That's right. Next up, we are going to revisit Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Dawn of Ragnarok, and give it a final verdict. Developed by Ubisoft Sophia, published by Ubisoft, released March 10th for Assassin's Creed Valhalla for $39.99. In Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Dawn of Ragnarok, Ivor must embrace their destiny as Odin, the Norse god of battle and wisdom. Talked about the rest of that last week. Aki, what's going on in this? How far did you get?
I got a lot further into it. It took me a while to actually get to it, but it was doable. Something that most of y'all probably aren't going to have to do. I actually had to play more of the main game to get things built, so I could play more of it. But after you do the first mission, which I talked about last time, you get pulled back into the main world and you have to talk with the seer about it. And then you get sent back in where you will hopefully just finish the entire thing in one, well, not one sitting, but without going back into the base game again. And you are actually now in the land of the dwarves. That was something apparently lots of people had questions on from the base game and the prior DLCs, is people were wondering what happened to the dwarves and the elves, apparently. And this seems to be, it's going to tell you what happened with the dwarves, because now you're in the dwarven lands and they're getting all sorts of fucked up by the demons. And you're going out. You are now on a thing of revenge because someone important to you was killed in that first mission at the end of it. And you're hunting Suter, his wife, and all of his top people because fuck that guy. And yeah, that's what you're doing. You got a brand new map of the Dwarven Lands that I cannot pronounce because I can't pronounce like 90% of the names that have anything to do with fucking Asgard. Fair. So, yeah, it's something Heim, I'm sure. and yeah, you're going through this brand new map, which you have to unlock and all that other stuff, just like you do the other one, the base game. But now you have a different type of raid because you have completely different skills even in this. You have all the base game skills, but you also are given new special powers because you're given this new bracer that sucks the life energy out of the enemies you've killed. And you get to use special abilities that you get from the game, usually by killing an enemy and sucking their power out. And if it's a new type of enemy, it'll give you a new ability. Like, for instance, the base bad guys in this, they give you ability to basically turn into a creature that's similar to them. So you can walk up and approach them. You can finally walk through lava without dying in, like, 2 fucking seconds. Yay, that would have been super useful in the first boss fight. Jackasses. But then not long after that, because you get that in the tutorial of this next area, but almost immediately after that, you can walk out and you find some large ravens that you kill, and absorbing their power, you get to turn into a raven and fly off for a certain amount of time before you're changed back, or until you land, whichever happens first. In which case, then you're changed back into your character. Those are the only abilities I've unlocked so far, but there's 6 of them, I think, in total. And there's upgrades to each one. One that basically gives you an extra ability added to it, like I believe for the flying one, you get the ability to drop out of it into an assassination if you get it, which is pretty cool. So you can be flying, see someone beneath you, and you're like, fuck that guy in particular. You can just go right into an assassination, which is fun. And then the other one is just the upgrade to how long the ability lasts. And those are really the only two types of upgrades you get for each ability, is just how long and something extra. You can also upgrade how many times you're able to do stuff by upgrading the bracer itself. And that's namely, like, you get a lot of energy from the enemies or from some random ass giant flowers that are around. And once it fills up the bar, you start off with one bar, you get to use one ability. You can't just turn the ability off either, which is a shame. I was kind of surprised that they wouldn't let me just turn off the ability and have whatever amount of energy was left. No, it goes until the energy is gone, and you can fill it up while you're using it even. So by the time the things run empty, you might have another bar all over again if you've gone around doing stuff. So that's really nice, but you can upgrade to have more bars as well. And they use all new upgrade materials. They use silicas, gems, feathers, et cetera, et cetera. Most of the different items that you use to upgrade a specific set of powers. Like the Raven powers. Guess what they use? Fucking feathers. Had to kill a bunch of them, grab their feathers, and they also use, I believe, silica, which is something I think all of them use. They use silica and their own specific upgrade that's just for it. Yeah. And then otherwise, it's basically just still the same game. You're still going around assassinating people or getting into fights. You're probably getting into fights because this game is not particularly subtle. Because they've decided the entire stealth assassin part of Assassin's Creed was kind of no longer necessary, I guess, for some reason. I don't understand the thing that made this popular. They've basically gotten rid of, but that's in the base game as well. So it's still more of the same, thankfully. And yeah, you're going around and you're getting fucking revenge. And it's fantastic. I love revenge stories. They're so cathartic.
Nice. Well, the DLC expansion is $40. What are your final thoughts on it?
I think this DLC is going to take you anywhere between 20 and 30 hours. So I think it's totally worth the price. It's really well done. Some of the characters are really likable because you meet some of the dwarves immediately and lots of them are really, really enjoyable. So yeah, I'm all for it. Go for it, guys. It's great.
Cool. All right. Up next is Paradise Killer, developed by Kaizen Gameworks, published by Fellow Traveler, released March 16th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows 10 for $19.99. An island outside of reality, a rogue human civilization hoping to resurrect dead alien gods, a murder locked behind doors. What's going on here?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. And to answer that, I think we're going to need a lot of drugs and the devs. I reviewed this game on Steam years ago at this point. It makes almost as much sense now as it did then, which is absolutely none whatsoever.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, this world is really weird. And you're set up as a character who's existed in it for a while. So there's some background, but not... The background still doesn't make any damn sense because it's weird. So basically what's happened is some people have become gods for some reason, and they seem to be trying to awaken other gods for some reason. And to do this, they keep making paradises. And every time demons invade, they kill everyone and create a new paradise because that one has failed and it needs to be scrapped. And the gods just step into the new paradise as they see fit. And you are playing Lady Loveless, and that is her actual name, not a title. Her first name is Lady. Her last name is Loveless. All of them have fucking weird goddamn names like that. Like, I'm pretty sure one of them's like Yuri Twilight and stuff like that. There's a couple that have the last name Daybreak. It's weird. And you are the detective of the place. Everyone has something that they specialize in. And that's what they do through all of these. And you were the, I think it was the investigative maniac or something like that was your subtitle, basically. And you failed in Paradise 13, I think it was. And they decided to exile you into a special little island where you wouldn't be useful to them, even though you're the top detective and they need detectives because they're smart people. And it is now paradise number 24 or 25. And you've spent like over 3 billion days in exile or something.
Oh God.
Yeah. You're a god just like they are, basically. And one of the top people in this place, someone who I believe was going to be in charge of the next paradise, died, and they don't know who did it. They have a suspect who they're pretty sure did it, some standard civilian who is infected with a demon, and they're like, we need evidence because we don't know how they did it, even because humans aren't able to get into the place where the guy died. And on top of that, how the hell could he even kill him? And the place was completely locked down on top of that. So we need you to figure out what the fuck and how the fuck and why the fuck, because what the fuck? And yeah, so you're talking to the only people that are left on the island, because all the civilians have gone the way of extermination or transferred to the new island. Most of the gods have transferred to the new island already, even. So you have like 8, 12, something like that, people left on the island that you have to interact with. So, you know, great pool of suspects. Get rid of most of them. That's nice. Thank you. make it so much easier to understand now. And so you're released from exile and you're told, if you solve this, you're free to be part of paradise again. And there's an achievement for doing it in under 10 minutes as well. And I've already gotten that achievement, and you don't, that's the selfish ending where you've not looked up anything and you're just saying random shit just so you can get free. It's fantastic. The thing about this game is all the people give you bits of information, and it's a lot of running back and forth, because you'll get some information from this person and then you go and talk to somebody else and they might mention something about that first person. So you have to go back and talk to them about that because that wasn't something important in their mind, and so on and so forth. And you keep doing that through all these different characters, and they actually have relationships with each other and with you, even though you've been gone for so many fucking hundreds of years, I assume. So you can actually piss people off to where they won't talk to you again. which is
you have experience with that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I have a lot of experience with that. I save scum the fuck out of this game because I'm bad at that. Because I pissed off almost everybody.
Shocker.
Yeah, I'm bad at talking to people in real life, too, so can't save scum that, sadly. And the cool thing about this is you can find information about everyone and find a way to decide that they're the one who did it. Everybody. And the game doesn't really tell you if they actually did it or not. It's left very open-ended. So you actually determine, based on the evidence, because you do need evidence, who did what and why and all this other stuff. But you can literally choose just about anyone for it if you have the evidence, which is fantastic. You always get the same evidence, though, so it's not like you're going to go into a new game and you're going to get, you know, evidence you never have seen before, unless you fucked up and didn't get the evidence the first time. But otherwise, it's the same evidence. You just determine how you look at that and therefore how you use it. It's really interesting. The game can be, if you're trying to get all the evidence and everything, this game is long as fuck. Because the trial happens at the very end. You get to determine when you're like, okay, I want to do the trial. So as much evidence or as little evidence as you want, you can bring into this. But if you're collecting all of it, it takes a long fucking time, because lots of this world needs to be unlocked. Because you can find little things here and there, like blood vials and stuff, that and coins and things like that, that you need to use in order to open pathways through different areas. There's usually a way in somehow, but it's easier just to fucking open the pathway. Because other times you might be jumping through hoops trying to get into an area that you shouldn't probably actually be able to access that way. But fuck it, why not?
Oh, God.
Hey, I like doing things like that. If I can't get into places that you're not supposed to get into that way, then the game isn't as fun for me. I like to get into things ways that you're not supposed to. It's amusing.
What is it with my show getting people who like to break games?
Breaking games is fun. That's why.
I know. We'll be talking about that in a minute, but Paradise Killer is $20. What are your thoughts on it?
If you like getting high and playing video games, this is 100% a game for you. This will be the most amazing game you've ever fucking played. It is very bright. It's very colorful. It's very weird, and it doesn't make any sense no matter what. So if you like to get high and play games, you will fucking love this. Everyone else, you might like this because it's a weird little
game. Jacob will have to listen to this review then.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he'd love this. It's a weird little game, so I think everyone would like it, really.
And if you're on the fence, it's on Game Pass.
Yes, it is. So. And you can probably find it cheap on Steam if your computer is good enough. So, you know, that way, if you want to give it a try and you don't have Game Pass for some ungodly, stupid reason.
Yeah, you should have Game Pass by now. But one final game to talk about tonight is called Bouncy Boy in Puzzle Land, developed and published by Twin Stick, releasing March 25th, Xbox One, Series X, and S for $14.99. Bounce into this colorful and cartoony world with Bouncy Boy and adventure through various levels filled with challenging puzzles, cute graphics, and funky beats. Aki, tell us about your time with this one.
So my time with this was I installed it and I tried to log in and... It forever
and you broke the game. You like completely broke it.
Yeah, I just tried to sign in, folks. I didn't even do anything. I didn't fuck with the settings or anything. I just clicked A, and then it pops up the thing where you select your profile, and I select my profile, and then it goes to sign you in, but it tries to sign me in before I do that, so it doesn't do anything. And I even tried it. I moved it from my Xbox Series X onto my my hard disk drive, and it didn't work there, and I've uninstalled it. I've done hard resets. I even installed it on my Xbox One S earlier today and tried it, and it just doesn't want to work. No one else seems to have had this problem.
Nobody has this problem except for you, which is, it blows my mind that it's like, I've seen video of it. It's definitely, something's definitely just fucked up somewhere. Yeah. Something broke.
And what's worse is originally we thought maybe it was because I was playing on a Series X. Maybe something went wrong because the dev doesn't have one of those. Wherever he lives, they're still really hard to get a hold of. So he's like, maybe that's part of the issue. I don't know. I can't test it.
I'm on Series X and it works fine.
Yeah. And now today I've traded on a Xbox One and it still won't let me fucking play.
It's just, there's some kind of funkiness with your account. Maybe it's something with your profile or your gamer tag or something that is just not meshing with the game, because we've been in touch with the dev, who has been super nice about this whole thing. You said you've been trading emails with him like crazy trying to figure this out.
Yeah, that entire day when we started, we sent like 10, 15 emails back and forth. And he kept suggesting different things that might work, and I kept trying them and they didn't work. And it's really sad because this is a puzzle game and it looks like it'd be a quick, easy 1K, and I want to play it, and no matter what I do, it just won't let me play. It doesn't want me to be able to play a nice, easy puzzle game. Why?
Well, I'll tell you now, it's not a nice, easy puzzle game. There is some challenge to this one. This is a 3D, just kind of grid-based traversal puzzle game where you have to get from the beginning to the end. There's going to be traps in your way. There's going to be puzzles in your way. There's going to be flowers that you have to fuck with in the way. There's going to be bridges. There's going to be vines.
But what makes it hard? Because all of that sounds easy so far.
what makes it hard is actually figuring out how to get to the end in three stars moves, because you have to get there perfectly to get three stars. If you have like one extra movement, you're getting two stars. I've had a few stages where I literally missed it by one move because I made one tiny little mistake and I had to settle for silver until I went back and restarted it. Leads me to one of my small gripes with the game. I wish the restart was quicker. When you hold the Y button to restart it, it basically reloads the whole stage from scratch. I'm guessing it's just a technical limitation. I wish it was an easier, like, hold the Y button and it just snaps you back without having to reload the stage, but I don't know the technical issues there. Carnage saying for the achievements, you only need 25 golds. That's not too bad. And then you realize like the first world has 10 stages. So you have to get 2.5 worlds perfect.
How many worlds are there?
I believe there's 8 to 10, something like that. There's a lot of levels in the game. There's a lot of content there. I haven't made it through nearly anywhere close to I don't know, worthwhile amount, because I didn't expect to have to review this. This is the whole technical issue with you kind of thrust this one onto me. It's cute. It's fun. The music it's got good music, but the crickets annoyed me. I had the TV on pause and I just had the music playing in the background. After like 5 minutes, I had to mute it because the cricket sound effect was just annoying the shit out of me. I find the weird things to complain about, but, it's cute. It's challenging. It's a decent Carnage thing. It's a decent little puzzler. $15, I think, is a solid price on it. I kind of wish it were 10. I think that would have been better. I think it would have gotten more traction at $10. 15 is still pretty good. There's a lot of content there, a lot of stages to master. If you have a guide, I'm sure this will be a fairly easy follow a guide and complete the game. But if you're working it out on your own, you're going to be breaking your brain on some of these stages. It gets tough quick.
And hopefully you don't run across my issue where the game doesn't want you to be able to play it.
Yeah, hopefully you don't run into any issues. If you do, let us know so we could let the developer know and get in touch and find out like what's causing this. This is such a crazy, weird bug that no one else has run into.
Yeah, you'll have to tell the dev that I even tried it on Xbox.
Yeah.
And but, it still didn't work.
$15, I give it a try it. Nice. You watched some video on it. You watched some trailers on it. What are your thoughts on it?
It looks cute to me. It looks like something I would like. I like little puzzle games. I didn't think it'd be as hard as you said it was, though. Nothing really screamed at me that it was going to be that hard.
Oh, check the TA ratio for it. It's granted, the game's not out yet, but
that worries me.
it's a tough one. It is. It's going to be a difficult one to make it all the way through, I think.
Great thing about these games is give it like a week, it'll have a 100% guide easy.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode. I made it through another one. While you were doing your reviews, I was going through some key redemptions on Fanatical. I redeemed 36 games so far, and I've only had 4 duplicates.
Oh, what were the duplicates? Maybe I want one of them.
1993 Space Machine, Chroma Gun, Cosmonautica, and Nuclear Throne.
Nope. All right.
Yeah. So far, like, I'm up to the letter R, and those are the only duplicates I've had on this Fanatical bundle. It's a really good bundle for $15.
And you know, for anyone who has a good PC, the Humble Bundle, just their monthly Humble Bundle, right now it's like $8 or something, I think, per month or some shit like that. It has Mass Effect Legendary Edition in it.
Ooh.
Which is a $40-ish game, and you're only charged $8, and it has a bunch of other fairly high priced games in it as well, but for me, the Mass Effect fan, that's the only one I really give a fuck about. It's the only one I remember. So go check that out if y'all play Steam games, because that's a damn good price. $8 for Mass Effect Legendary Edition, the brand new one that just came out recently. Hell yes.
Anyway, good stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. Music, we got a track from my buddy Patrick Jacks, brand new song that he whipped up at the start of the pandemic. He just released it on his YouTube today. So I got the okay, and I'm going to play it on the show. So it is some nice, chill, Nier Automata music, and we're going to finish up with that. So do you have any final words to end the show?
Fuck Jacob.
One of these days, you're going to have, like, normal final words.
I thought that was pretty normal. I thought fuck Jacob was a very normal thing we say all the time.
Okay, you got a point there.